Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And would you once again welcome this beautiful couple here? Haven't they just done a wonderful job? They've done a wonderful job of living. They've done a wonderful job in their ministry, praise God. Ministries, they've had more than one. And founded this great church up in the mountains of Colorado. I have been there, and it is fabulous up there. It is just glorious. Father, we thank you for your goodness. You are good to all, the 145th Psalm says. And we praise you and we worship you today,
yes,
for it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now then, Jeremy, you were talking about, before we came in today, about Sarah giving her testimony, mm-hmm. and was concerning a victory campaign, right?
Yeah. You know, Sarah and I have such a story, and we've been able to minister it all over the world, and people ask us, how did you meet? What's your story? And I'm telling you, people ask everywhere. I've sat in barber chairs and they've asked, and we've stood in grocery lines and they've asked. And I say the same thing every time. I say, I will tell you the story, but it will make you believe in God. And we have ministered that. Not too long after we were married, we were in, actually just a month after we were married, we were in Africa ministering together. A couple of years later, we were in Australia ministering together. And I remember preaching to a room full of college age students. And we didn't really have, I remember going into that meeting thinking, Lord, I'm not quite sure what to preach, what to say. And so we just said, well, let's just tell our story. And the Lord has used it in such a way to, I know for people who desire to be married and are looking for the one, not just the next one, but the one, the Lord's used it to minister to people. And I know what the Lord did in me to get us together, and I know what the Lord did in her to get us together. And like I said, it's marvelous, it's miraculous. But when you back up several years before that, I was living here in Texas and serving Mom and Dad and Mimi and Papa and their staff. Sarah was living in Arkansas with her family where she was born and raised. But what, were you in college?
Mm-hmm.
And you guys decided to go to a Branson Victory campaign, to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland meeting. We were talking about this the other day, and when Sarah started telling me the story, actually it was right around Victory-thon time.
Yeah.
And that's what brought this up. And she started telling this story about something the Lord did specifically in her at that victory campaign all those years ago. Man, it hit me hard. And I thought it was such a good example. And of course, Friday on the Believer's Voice of Victory is offering day. And I believe this ties into the assignment on this day on the broadcast. And if you're good with it, I'd love for you just to tell that story and administer it as the Lord leads you.
Well, I was probably in my last year in college, and I remember driving to class. Now, first of all, I was an English major, creative writing major, and I just didn't want to read half the stuff that we had to read in there. It was junk, secular junk. So I'd hide my Brother Hagin books down under the desk, and I'd read my, you know, I guess the Lord was preparing me. I know I had to graduate, but I wanted to be in ministry. And so I just hide my Brother Hagin books, read those in class. But I remember driving around in between classes, and I always had my Gloria Copeland teaching it in my CD player, and teaching on the 91st Psalm. I listened to it over and over. I mean, I remember just sitting in the parking lot and just experiencing God listening to Gloria. Isn't that awesome? But we got to the end of the year, and I was seeking the Lord about what He wanted me to do next, and had it in my heart to go up and visit Faith Life Church in Branson. And you just happened to be doing a victory campaign that weekend.
And Keith and Phyllis Moore's church.
Yeah. And so we went to the victory campaign, and I remember really experiencing the Lord. One particular night, you were teaching on the love of God. And I just remember the Lord gave me a melody out of that message. And I remember just songs come. It was something special that night. And pretty soon the Lord dealt with us to move up to be a part of that church and to go attend that church. And that's where, when I moved up there, I started to experience, learn some things that I had never just grasped on faith. And, but that night I remember having the opportunity to sow. And for the first time, I can't explain it other than it was the first time I believe I sowed from the deepest part of my heart. I sowed two things. I sowed in faith and I sowed in love. And I remember it was into KCM. It was into this work specifically. I don't know how to explain it other than my heart was so full that it was beyond just me getting to giving to get. It was beyond me just sowing because I knew it was the right thing to do. I was for the first time sowing in faith and sowing in love. And I started to experience the harvest on that pretty soon after. The Lord dealt with us to move there to be a part of that church. And when I got there, I started to learn about faith and reap the wisdom of God on faith. Like I had never learned and known before. I grew up in a faith church. But when I got under that, I began to reap faith. And it wasn't long after that before I was introduced to this guy. And I reaped love. Like I had never known love.
Praise God, sir.
And, you know, you don't think about those things. Of course, the Bible talks about how, you know, everything produces after its own kind. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have reaped on that financial seed that I sowed more than I could, you know, exceeding abundantly above. But I have also so grown in faith and in love because that seed was sown in faith and love. And Galatians tells us, don't be deceived. That God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. And God is just so good like that.
Yes, he
that
is.
He would not only multiply that seed that was sown financially and give me the harvest on that, but he would also give me such an amazing harvest of faith, growing in faith and growing in love. And, you know, when I met Jeremy, I don't know that I've ever been loved by anyone. I don't even know why I'm crying. Sorry. I don't even know if I've ever experienced the love of God. I remember the thing I would say after I met him was that he loves me the way my father loves me. And that was a harvest on that seed. So thank you for giving me an opportunity to sow in the KCM.
Praise God.
And just the atmosphere that was in that room that night, and I give all the glory to God for it, but the atmosphere enabled my heart to be so expanded that there was, you know, giving doesn't mean anything unless it comes from the heart.
That's right.
You know, God loves a cheerful giver. And so that night there was something that happened in me, and I know that the place from where which that seed came from was so wide open that that harvest could come back to me.
Praise
and I'm just
God,
thankful. Sir, it's
yes.
awesome. That,
that is so
that
good. Day. What a blessing that is. It, you come to that place when all of these things are settled. And you know in your heart that God is a good God. Now, that same scripture in Galatians has been used to preach sin. Mm. Mm. It's true.
Whatever you sow,
you're going to reap.
Yeah.
And the wages of sin, you're going to reap death. But there are certain churches and so forth that major in that all the time and never mention the good harvest, the good things that you sow. For in Ephesians, if we'd like to turn there just for a moment, the way the Apostle Paul said this by the Spirit of God in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, the 8th verse. 7th verse says, with goodwill doing service as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing, say knowing.
Knowing.
Knowing this, that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he's bond or free. Good things.
Yeah.
Sowing good things. Sowing giving. Sowing smiles. Sowing laughter. Even when you don't feel like it. But forgiving all the time. And you've heard me say this before, but, and I don't know, I have kind of a strange way of renewing my mind to things. But just, and too, back in the early days of this ministry, there was a lot of persecution about it, particularly when you get over into the money side of it. That was what Oral Roberts got so much grief over. Not because he preached healing and miracles, because he preached the abundant life. That God was a good God, and that was his theme song. God is a good God. And what do you mean he's a good God? And people got mad at him for preaching he's good. But when you start talking about finances, an abundant life, well, then you put those two together and you make a lot of religious people mad. Anyway, and there was a lot of people that were really saying a lot of bad things about us. Yeah. But I just decided just to forgive all the time.
Yeah.
Just forgive, just, and go into a restaurant. I did this for a long time and still do. Lord, before I go in there, I'm going to forgive everybody in the place. And I'm asking you to forgive everyone in the place. I don't care what they've done. I'm asking you to forgive them. Yeah. And if there's anyone in there that you need for me to pay their meal, pay for their meal, I'll do it. If there's anyone in that you want me to preach to, I'll do it. And this has turned into one miracle right after another. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the love walk. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is all part of the love walk. Mm-hmm. Because he's a good and forgiving God. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful testimony.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to make a confession. You know, I heard Papa talk about that years ago. Starting to just forgive everybody, you know. And he said just what he did. Before I walk into a restaurant, I forgive the waitress and I forgive everybody in there. And I would sit there and listen. I'm like, what does that really mean? I mean, they didn't do anything, you know. I mean, and here we are living in a time right now. And I know you've noticed this, and I have too. There is such an agitating spirit in this world right now.
Running in the street.
People are so on edge. Have you seen it? And it's all connected to what's been going on in the world the last couple of years. It's just got people right on edge, and to the point where they're looking for a fight. You just look at me funny. You just say one wrong word to me, and I will throw down right now. Yeah. You better walk into a place with forgiveness already flowing, mercy already flowing. And one of the big reasons is because Jesus, and he made this statement, and it's one of those we read it, but I don't know that we really read it. He said, if you don't forgive, neither will my Father. Yeah. Like, man, Jesus, that's serious stuff. Yes. But I believe what he's saying is the only thing that can stop grace from flowing to you is when you stop grace from flowing through you. Yeah. That's the only thing that'll shut the door to that. So having mercy flowing through you all the time. And the reason this is such a big thing to me is because before I met her, man, I'd been through some stuff and been through some relationship stuff and things I call relationship hell. And I came out on the other side like, Lord, that was not fun. and I said this to the Lord one time. I said, if you ever see fit to bring somebody into my life, somebody good, somebody who loves you and would love me, I know it will be nothing short of your mercy. And Wednesday night, March 7th, 2007, in Branson, Missouri, this girl came walking in to where I was sitting. And that part's a long story too, but I had gone to meet her and we'd never met, we'd never spoken, we'd never had anything. I'd just seen a picture of her and I couldn't get her off my mind. And I knew she was in Branson and I knew Mimi and Papa were gonna go do a meeting in Branson. So I came to Papa and said, I just feel really led. It's strong.
Well, you were really led. Yes, praise God.
I want to go to that meeting. Can I get a ride with you? Yeah, come on. So we went, and Wednesday night, March 7th, 2007, she came walking into the restaurant, and you can believe this or you cannot, but I'll tell you what happened. The Lord spoke on the inside and said, I want you to meet my mercy.
Glory to God, Jeremy.
And over 14 years later, I still can't talk about it without it coming all over me. It was so real to me that night. I want you to meet my mercy. And every day,
that's precious.
Every night, I go to bed next to mercy. Every day, the mercy of the Lord is new every morning. And it's been so real to us.
Thank
and
you.
Such a part of our story. Only to find out her half of the story, and it's an amazing thing,
well,
too.
Well, it's always that way.
Yeah. I mean, the Lord had brought her to Texas months before I ever saw that picture of her. And He put it so strong in her heart that she needed to go to the Southwest Believers Convention. The only thing was, she had no vacation time. She had just used it all to go with Billy Brim on a trip to Israel, where she was on the Sea of Galilee, and somebody took a picture.
And
guess what picture I saw?
He showed me that picture. He said, look at this. I said, there it was. There she. He said, look at her. She's right there.
That picture was sitting on Rachel's desk, my cousin Rachel, Kelly's daughter. I saw it, and Rachel was in the picture, and this other girl, and this other girl. And I said, who is that, and why don't I know her? And sure enough, the Lord just worked in me. And I just fell in love with this girl in the picture who I'd never talked to, nothing. Only to find out, like I said, months before, the Lord had told her, go to Southwest. Lord, I don't have any vacation time. Quit your job.
Yes.
So she quit her job to go to Southwest Believers Convention. Sat there all week and thought, well, this was good. Not quite sure why I quit my job, but it was good. And the family she was with had a teenage daughter who said, hey, will you take me to the youth service? And you can tell the rest of it. I don't want to butcher it.
Go ahead. You're doing great.
She said, will you take me to the youth service? And Sarah's like, I don't want to go to youth. She's, you know, in her 20s. And the girl was like, please, please, please. Okay. So she took her to the youth service. And it just happened to be the morning I was preaching. And her side of the story was, and this, again, months before I saw the picture, she sat there. And we were ministering to a young girl that day in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And the presence of the Lord was so strong. And Sarah said she sat there going, that's my husband. That guy's my husband. And then she thought later, no, that's my flesh and all that. Only to find out the Lord's working on me. He's working on her. And He gets us together. And that's when He said to me, I want you to meet my mercy.
Now, let me tell you something. The mercy of God is so rich and pure. And there are those of you out there right now that you just don't know what in the world you're going to do. Your whole life is a mess. But you listen to me. His mercy endures forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Forever, forever. And your loving Heavenly Father, if you don't know Him as Lord, do it right now. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior today. And I know you have a plan for me. I know you have someone for me. I know you have a fix for this. Now, don't just jump up and go hunting a wife and all that. No. No. He has the plan. His plan is blessed. Don't try to make a plan and then get Him to bless it. But if you find His plan, it's already blessed because we already read it. I have good thoughts for you. I have a good plan for you. It's a wonderful plan. It's full of love plan.
It's a mercy plan.
The first thing for you to do is go to the 13th chapter of John. That happened in what's called the Last Supper. The 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th chapters of John are all at that precious moment where they were receiving communion together. Yeah. And they sang hymns together because Jesus was leaving that room and going to the cross. He went to the whipping post first. And by those stripes, we were healed.
Thank you.
Amen.
Such mercy.
It's just mercy and goodness and kindness. And then check it out for yourself. Jesus himself went into hell and suffered as no man ever suffered before or ever will.
And if we ever get a revelation of how much we've been loved, loving is easy.
Yes.
But that's what he said, love each other as I have loved you. That's the revelation. Yes. That's what it's got to come out of right there. You can wake up every day and go, okay, walk in love, walk in love, walk in love, walk in love. Be good, be kind, be merciful. You're about to be the biggest jerk you've ever been because you're looking to yourself as your source. But if you'll meditate in, I am loved. I'm loved by my Father. He's been good. He's been kind. He's been merciful to my junk, my stuff over and over, and I can be merciful to others. Yeah. Amen.
Let me read this from the 17th chapter of John. Jesus began to pray. And as he prayed in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That means he's praying for all of us. He's praying for everybody, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. The first time I ever read that, I was a student there at Oral Roberts University, and I had agreed. I just learned about the prayer of agreement, and I thought, I'm gonna agree with this. And when he said that, you mean God loves me as much as he loved Jesus? I didn't know I was a new creature. I said, oh, but I'm going to say this. And my body was trembling. God loves me as much as he does Jesus. Mm. Say it. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. He is love. He sent Jesus because he loves us. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Love did that. Just begin to walk around the room. God loves Kenneth. God loves Kenneth. God loves Sarah. God loves Jeremy. Put your name in there. Just walk around the room and walk around and say it, and say it with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. You say it, and you say it, and you say it, and you say it, and you say it until it rises up on the inside of you and you begin to dance and sing and say, God loves me. He loves me. He loves me right now. He loves me all the time. He loves me whether I deserve it or not. He is love and he is good. And I'm his and he's mine. And we're out of time. But not out of, we're just in here, we're out of time. Come on, we'll be back in a few moments. Give the Lord a praise.
Every Friday is Offering Day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and the scripture that we use is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Thank you, partners, for your prayers and your support. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland love and appreciate you and pray for you every day. You are never a day without prayer. And when you sow into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you're connecting with a ministry that specializes in using their faith. You can expect to experience that anointing coming on your life as well. Kenneth and Gloria have been preaching the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Thank you, partners, for being a vital part of sending the word out through the broadcast, the magazine, the website, social media, products, emails, prayer calls, special events, and more. Let me pray over this offering right now. Father, as our partners and friends and those who are giving into this ministry sow, I thank you that you are multiplying and bringing great harvest to them. The harvest of their seed, Lord, that they give is a magnificent one. And their needs are being taken care of according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Many voices are quick to tell you what can't be done. But Jesus has something to say about what is possible for you. Even in the face of impossible odds, God can do the impossible. Jeremy Pearsons, grandson of Kenneth Copeland, founder of Pearsons Ministries International, and pastor of Legacy Church in Colorado, has answered the call of God to take the word preached by generations before and make it available to generations that follow. In his series, It Can Be Done, find out from the Bible what it takes to move your situation out of the impossible and into the realm of It Can Be Done. The four-part CD series includes the messages, All Things Are Possible, Eyes That See, Faith in the Resurrection, and Changed by the Anointing. Correcting limiting mindsets can seem daunting, but God has a way of getting us on the right path that is full of gentleness and kindness. He has a plan for you, and the awesome things that God has told you and will tell you can be done. Order your copy of It Can Be Done by Jeremy Pearsons for only $10. You can have overcoming faith in the face of impossibility. Learn how to declare God's word over any situation and walk in victory every day. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And all of our partners, we love you. Go to church this weekend. Amen. And realize this. Jesus is coming soon. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. Hey, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Go online to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.